Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. I am your host, Kelly Gamont, and with me today, I have a very special guest. I am talking to Peter Cohen. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Kelly.
Now, where can people find you as a person who does a lot of commentating on Apple and what Apple's up to?
Oh, you know, Twitter is where all the journalists hang out these days, right? So you can find me there at Flarg, F-L-A-R-G-H. I'm pontificating about different Apple stuff almost every day of the week. I also have my own website at peter-cohen, C-O-H-E-N.com. And also around, you know, my you'll find my byline on a lot of different sites.
Excellent. Okay. So the first thing that I'd like to talk to you about is the Mac App Store, because you and I have talked about this before more than once, I think, just sort of in general conversation about what's there and how Apple really likes to tell us how much stuff is there, but good luck finding most of it.
Yeah, you know, the Mac App Store is a great resource because it ties into your Apple ID, right? So it's a security system that most Apple users implicitly trust, or implicitly trust at least a little bit more than they trust a lot of other ways to get things on the internet. You know, it's a secure method of payment, and it's, you know, or you have a reasonable expectation that when you download something from the Mac App Store, it's safe and okay to use because you're downloading it from something that's got Apple's brand on it. You know, in other words, something not messed up with adware or malware, something that that actually works the way it's supposed to. And that's been true for a very long time, but you know, somewhere, I think, around the release of Mojave last year, maybe even a little bit before that, discoverability on the Mac App Store started to take a real sharp downturn. They started removing features and functionality from the Mac App Store that made it easier to find, let's say, new releases or trending things that that you might be interested in. And there's no real effective way that I can find anyway, and that anybody has been able to show me within or outside of Apple, to kind of hang out in the Mac App Store and look for things. So if I'm a developer with an app that I want to release through the Mac App Store and I've gone through the vetting process and everything is okay, great, I can put it on the Mac App Store. But getting people to it is my problem exclusively. It means that the only traffic that my Mac App Store app is ever going to see is traffic that I send it myself, either through my website or through my social media efforts or through advertising, whatever means I have to get people to get eyes on that page on the Mac App Store to affect its that app's rankings, to affect how other people can find it. That's, you know, that's up to me. And I think that puts things in a really skewed situation because there's no discoverability on the Mac App Store, and it drives me crazy just trying to find new things because I know that new things are getting posted and I can't find them. And then when I talk to developers, especially indie developers who may just be using the Mac App Store for the first time or may not have a ton of experience, it's always like, yeah, we can't figure out how to get people there. You know, it does absolutely nothing for our bottom line as a result. And that's really sad. I think Apple's losing a big opportunity there.
I think so, too. And I think like part of the discoverability problem when they tried to crack this nut on iOS was the stories in the App Store, because it didn't used to be any of that. You just sort of in the olden times. When the App Store was chiseled on stone tablets and delivered by Pony Express, you just sort of got like a list of charts, and then whatever Apple chose to have like a slide or two for on the front, it looked very much like the music store does now, the music and movie store. And you know, if somebody did have something out there, like you said, like it was up to them to direct folks to where they could get it. And the stories were supposed to help some of that, and I think they may have helped the few people that Apple chose to feature, because, you know, they can only feature so many a day. They can only feature, you know, so many at a time. Like, somebody has to be responsible for cranking those out, writing that content, putting those lists together. And And there's just so much more stuff out there than even the stories can give you. And so, like, it was nice to know that stories were coming to the Mac App Store when that happened. But it doesn't feel to me like it has helped solve the problem at all on macOS, just like it only sort of helped on iOS. You know, the way that you find out is you talk to developers who are putting stuff out, and hopefully it occurs to any of them to go to Twitter or Facebook or their own websites or their own mailing lists and say, hey, like, my app is out. It's a big deal. You should go see.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, giving developers a convenient and easy way to get their apps to users, and giving users a safe and convenient way of getting apps, is good. But, you know, Apple has really kind of removed itself outside of featuring individual content, which is completely arbitrary. I mean, you know, who makes these decisions, how those decisions are made, how they find out about new stuff on the store is anybody's guess, right? You know, mm-hmm. it's really kind of a mysterious thing. But that's not stopping people from using it. You know, I did a little straw poll on Twitter. I like to do these, and sometimes it's really dumb, like, you know, like, what's your favorite, you know, flavor of Mike and Ike's or something. But this one was just about Mac users. You know, do you use the Mac App Store to download apps, either free or paid? And it was a nice sample of people. And the vast majority of people who responded said, yeah, about 85% of the people who responded said, yes, I do. But it was really interesting because I got dozens of replies, you know, from people who voted in the poll, but then actually offered some comments beyond that. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that people have wildly varying reasons for why they actually download from the Mac App Store. And I think it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, some people are like, you know, basically the Mac App Store is my method of last resort. Like, if there's a way for me to get the app through another system, I will. Uh-huh. And that's me gaming.
We're going to pause briefly here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about our sponsor today. Our sponsor is Zapier. And the great thing about Zapier is that you can automate a bunch of things if you're one of those people who believed, once we lived in the computer age, that your computer would be able to do all those boring things for you. That's true. And you don't have to learn a bunch of code to make that happen. All you have to do is set up an account with Zapier, and you can use Zapier to send that email address to a spreadsheet, or when something happens, make sure that you get notified that this particular thing succeeded or failed. Or Dave uses it in some cool ways, I know. Like I said, you don't have to write any code, and people who are using it are saving an average of 40 hours a month. So all you have to do to get in on this, just for you, my listeners, if you go to zapier.com/TDO, ZAPIER.com/TDO, you get a free 14-day trial, and that offer is good through the end of the month. So go to zapier.com/TDO, and we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today.
You know, 99 times out of 100, it'll be on Steam long before it ever gets to the Mac App Store. Mm-hmm. And also, I can get much better deals on Steam and GOG.com and so on than some of the other download services than I can through the Mac App Store. So it becomes my method of last resort. Sometimes it's, you know, hey, look, if I can go to the developer's website and go with the developer first, I would prefer to give the developer a direct sale. So mm-hmm. there's that awareness too. You know, a lot of people want to make sure that the developer gets as much revenue from the transaction as they can. And they think that, look, you know, not being anonymous through the Mac App Store is going to give me an advantage when it comes time for support after the sale. You know, if I need to follow up with this developer and say, hey, how come it's not working right? Or what's going on here, I have a better chance of being able to have that direct connection by going directly through the developer's e-commerce site than I can through the Mac App Store. Now, Kelly, you and I both know how the sausage is made, so we know how foolish that, just kidding. And they're right in some cases. You know, it makes sense. You want to give small businesses direct business because sure. You feel like it's going to do more good there.
Right.
So it was a really interesting breakdown. You know, a lot of people were saying, you know, if it's outside the store, I prefer to go with that, but if there's no other way to get it, I'll get it. Other people were like, yes, enthusiastic Mac App Store, not only for me, but especially for my family members or my friends who I have to do tech support for,
yes,
because it makes it real easy for me to show them how to keep their stuff up to date and make sure that everything is in one place. That is a big deal.
Yes, that I think is the biggest advantage. You know, like you said, like, we know how the sausage is made. So if I have the opportunity to pay someone directly instead of making them take the Apple tax, I will do that. And there's a couple of apps that I really like that are simply not available in the App Store. And whether it's because Apple has ratcheted up sandboxing restrictions or because it does something that, you know, that I know is safe, that I think is legitimate, that Apple maybe frowns upon, like, those are things that I don't feel the least bit bad about. I think I personally am ambivalent about it. If it's in the App Store, that gives me sort of a one-stop shop for updates, like you said, and that makes maintenance easier for me on my own computer. But I absolutely don't mind buying it direct or, you know, having to sort of update that outside the App Store. Like, you know, I launch it and then it says, hey, you have an update. You know, you should get on that. Those kind of things don't make that big of a difference to me. So, like, I don't think of it as last resort, but usually it's because I'm looking something else up or I'm looking for the app to do that does something in particular. And I end up on the developer's website and the developer says, like, yeah, I have it directly. Like, it doesn't, you know, I've been buying software that way forever. So it doesn't make a difference to me, which way I do it. I generally prefer to do it directly given the chance. But, you know, if not, like, I'm not, you know, I won't boycott it or something just because the only way to get it is the App Store.
What I find wildly frustrating is watching Apple services revenue take off like it has over the past year and realize, look, I know. I know because I pay attention to the quarterly revenue announcements from Apple.
Yeah.
The Mac is increasingly a rounding error on Apple's balance sheets, right? You know?
Yes.
But look, it's incremental, and the Mac App Store is a service that Apple offers, a key service that Apple offers, and right, a more crucial service than ever that Apple offers is Apple has been gradually evolving the security framework for its Mac operating system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look, I used to sell and service these things for people, regular muggles, not the kind of people who listen to podcasts like this.
Yes.
And those folks appreciate the ease of use of the Mac App Store. They like the fact that they can trust it, that it's not a weird website that they have to go to.
Right.
There's some things that they don't like having to do. You know, they don't have to like having to re-input their Apple ID password. You know, is that the same as my Mac mail? You know, that sort of thing. But outside of that, you know, little bit of a road bump experience when it comes to authentication and stuff like that, I think people reflexively who don't live in this world all the time and for whom the Mac is just a black box that gets my stuff done, having the Mac App Store there as a convenient way of getting third-party apps is really good. But Apple has made it just a miserable experience for people unless you want to be spoon-fed the very specific things that Apple features. And quite frankly, since Catalina's release, if you're looking at the Mac App Store through through a Mac running, let's say, Mojave,
mm-hmm,
you're not really seeing a lot change on the Mac App Store from week to week. You know, there really just isn't a lot of motion there. And even on Catalina, there's not a terrific amount of motion like there is in some of Apple's other services. I mean, you could count. Every Friday, you're going to get new content on Apple Music, right? You're going to get all the new releases, all the hottest tracks. You know, you're going to hear Zane Lowe, you know, on Beats Radio pulling in, you know, the hot artist. There's heat, there's light, you know, there's an industry behind that. There isn't that same kind of momentum on the Mac App Store at all.
No.
And I think that Mac users really kind of get short shrift as a result.
Mm-hmm. And I think I think that this is what comes to mind for me when we hear Apple on those earnings calls, or they come out at press events or whatever, and they come out and say, you know, the Mac is still important to us and we still care about the Mac. And then, you know, and then it takes them 4 years to update the Mini. And, you know, the iMac Pro is still like almost a 3-year-old machine now. And, you know, and part of that is the Mac App Store. You know, you're absolutely right. When I open, I'm an Apple Music subscriber, and every time I open the music app, there's something different there than the time I saw it before. If I'm looking at the front page, I don't look at the front page every day, but it's, you know, more than a few times a week. And when I look at it, it does change over time. And I don't see that with the Mac App Store really much at all. And I think if I were building Mac apps, I would be very frustrated by that, because it really doesn't seem like, you know, it seems like what Apple is saying in this case and how they're backing it up is disingenuous at best, you know, in this particular case, because the Mac App Store is a service. Everybody's sort of paying for it a little, you know, in one way or another, whether, you know, because you continue to buy Apple hardware, that kind of thing. Like, you know, this is a service, you know, Apple's giving it to you, you know, but it is a service that I think is not getting considered the way the other services are.
Yeah, Apple's giving it to you, but you're still paying for the privilege. I mean, you know, for every free to download app that might have, you know, some kind of in-app purchase that you can unlock, there are apps that are in there that are costing users $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 or more. You know, mm-hmm. there, some of the stuff that's in the Mac App Store is high priced. So it's a service that you get as a Mac user, as an Apple user, but you're certainly paying for the privilege, as you should be, you know, when it comes to buying software. Now, we have documented many times over the years in podcasts and on posts on the sites that you've written for and the sites that I've written for, some of the problems that those developers have with the Mac App Store. You had mentioned sandboxing, for mm-hmm. example. You know, that was a huge issue when it first came up, and still, you know, regularly keeps certain classes of applications and utilities that require that sort of functionality out of the Mac App Store.
Yeah.
Simply because, look, you're not following Apple's security model. You can't play here. It's that simple. So there are certainly issues that app developers have to contend with that have made the Mac App Store a less hospitable environment for them than, say, some other places. But on the flip side, it's a great way to get software. It's really easy to download stuff from there. And it's a wonderful way also of, like I said, if you're doing tech support for family or friends, to make sure that they're getting their software in a predictable way that makes it easy to follow up if there are any problems with billing, let's say.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It definitely makes things more convenient, and that is a thing I do like about it. Like I said, that's definitely a good thing.
So Apple, clean up your act, man. Just improve discoverability. Give us, you know, just give us. And all I'm looking for, like, I'm not looking for a ton more, like, you know, personal curation, like the editorial curation that we've seen over the past couple of years. I'm looking for more algorithmic stuff. I'm looking for, you know, just basic, like, you know, give me a list of the new apps that have popped up in the last X days or mm-hmm. X weeks. You know, give me more granularity than the top free apps or the top paid apps. I'm just looking for a little bit more juice to make my experience there of going up and down the aisles and seeing what's available a little less, a little less opaque, because I've got nothing right now.
Yeah, there's no way to get up and down those aisles. I mean, at this point, that's kind of weird. I'm with you on that. Even just, you know, what's new this week or what's new this month, like, that doesn't take a bunch of human curation, like what's been submitted in the last 14 days. Here you go. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for us today. Peter, thank you so much for coming by, and tell the people one more time where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Flarg, FLARGH. And you know what? Check my bio and you can find other stuff there.
Excellent. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
That's it for us. I will talk to all of you later. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.